Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. It's great today to have my wife Louise sharing with us once again from the Scriptures.
Do any of you use those self-serve checkouts that are now in the supermarkets? I must say I like them. I like the way you can pack your things as you like. Well, not long ago, something happened at one of those checkouts which I found very interesting. I put all my shopping through, packed the trolley and headed out to my car. But when I got to the car and I unpacked the trolley into my boot, I discovered that there were some things at the bottom that I'd missed. I'd forgotten to put them through. I must admit, my first reaction was, cool, I got these things for free. But then I started to feel bad, and so I went back to the shop. I explained to the person on the self-serve checkouts what had happened, and she was very confused. She couldn't understand what I was saying. She thought I was complaining that the price was wrong or something. Eventually I had to say, I went through the checkout and I accidentally forgot to scan these items and so I want to pay for them now. She was shocked. Wow, she said. Okay, that's amazing. Her reaction showed me something. Not that I was a particularly saintly person, which I am, by the way. No, it showed me that in our culture, honesty, even about something as little as that, is a pretty rare thing. It's tragic, isn't it, that we live in a world that is more shocked by honesty than they are by dishonesty. People are more shocked by someone who does the right thing than they are by someone who doesn't do the right thing. That says to me that lack of honesty is more the norm than honesty is in our culture. And the news backs that up. There wouldn't be many weeks that go by that we aren't disappointed by the dishonesty of a public figure that we admired. Sports stars are caught taking illegal drugs. Politicians are using their funds dishonestly or having affairs. And it's not just public figures. We can all think of people, friends, family members, our spouses, our children, who we thought we knew, and then one day we've discovered that they're completely different and we really don't know them at all. Dishonesty, or a lack of integrity, when we come face to face with it, it's disappointing, isn't it? We've all experienced the disappointment that is the result of becoming aware of a lack of integrity in someone that we love or admire. And yet, we're all guilty of it at some level, aren't we? I know I am. Not truly being who we say we are. Not living a life where our beliefs are completely aligned with our words and actions and thoughts. Thoughts. That's a tough one, isn't it? When we were last together, we talked about gratitude and about how the Bible is very clear that we are to be thankful at all times and in all circumstances, about how we need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Well, today I want to talk about another attribute or attitude that the Bible has a lot to say about, and that is integrity. We've had a bit of a glimpse of what a lack of integrity looks like, but what is integrity? Let me give you a definition. The dictionary definition of integrity is being whole and undivided. When you live a life of integrity, you are not divided. Your words, your behaviour, your thoughts are not divided from your beliefs and your values. Integrity is when your behaviour matches your beliefs and values. Integrity is when what you say lines up with what you do. It's when your private life matches your public life. Integrity is what you do when no one else is looking. It's different to your reputation. Your reputation is who other people think you are. Integrity is who you really are. when what you say and do, your behavior, lines up with your beliefs and values. Integrity is a big deal. It's a big deal in our culture. It's a big deal in our personal lives. And it's a big deal for God. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Psalm 15. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbours or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honour the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. This is a psalm written by David. And in verse 1, he asks the question, who can enjoy the presence of the Lord? That's something we all want, isn't it? I know I do. I want to live my days in the presence of the Lord. God's answer to this question is basically those who have integrity. David asks, who may enjoy the Lord's presence? And then he lists the people that can. Those whose walk is blameless and who do what is right. They do what is right. They don't only believe it or talk about it. They do it. They walk the talk, you might say. That's integrity, isn't it? Those who speak the truth from sincere hearts. Those who speak the truth and their hearts are sincere. Their words are true and sincere. They're not just saying what people want to hear. They're not gilding the lily or telling a little white lie to cover things up. They really mean what they say. Their words are true and their hearts are sincere. That's integrity. Those who refuse to gossip or speak ill of others. That's a hard one, isn't it? If you don't admit to being guilty of that, then I doubt your integrity. We all do it. We gossip and speak ill of others. We speak differently about people when they're not around. Or maybe I'm the only one that's like that. Those who refuse to gossip or speak ill of others. That's loyalty, but it's also integrity. And they're the people that will enjoy the Lord's presence. Those who keep their promises even when it hurts. You can trust that when they say they will do something, they will do it. Even if it's hard for them, even if it's costly, even if it hurts. That's integrity. Those who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Nothing, even bribery, will entice them to lie. Their word can be trusted. That's integrity. And the end of verse 5 describes the result of that kind of life. Not only does it mean that you will live enjoying the presence of God, but such people will stand firm forever. So David gives us a couple of pretty awesome benefits of a life of integrity. The first one is you can walk closely with God. David said, who can dwell in the sanctuary of God? God responds, he or she who has integrity. If you live a life of integrity, you can enjoy ongoing communion and fellowship with holy God. I like to think of it this way. Murray and I have 4 kids. Now, if we impart to them our values and they live according to our family values, that's going to increase our intimacy and our fellowship, isn't it? And the opposite is also true. If we say, here's who we are as Shankses and here is what we stand for, and they say, actually, Mum and Dad, we don't like your values. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to live outside the family values. We'll still love them, but it's going to block our intimacy and our communion and fellowship. Maybe some of you know what that's like. Your children or others in your family have rejected your values and beliefs. You still love them, but there's a level of intimacy that is lost. The same is true with God. When you reject His standards and choose to live contrary to the way He would have you live, He still loves you, but there's a degree of intimacy that is lost. But David says that when you live according to His values, you can walk with Him, enjoying His presence daily, moment by moment. The second thing that David says is the result of a life of integrity is that you will stand firm forever. When your life matches your beliefs, you are consistent, you are reliable, people can trust you. You're not blown all over the place depending on your mood or who you're with. You stand firm every day, forever. That's two benefits of a life of integrity from Psalm 15. But God's word has more to say about this. Have a listen to this verse. Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them. When you live a life of integrity, you have a built-in guide. What does that mean? Well, businesses and organisations have core values that guide everything they do. I looked up what McDonald's core values are, and their value statement is, "We place the customer experience at the core of all we do. We are committed to our people. We believe in the McDonald's system. We operate our business ethically. We give back to our communities. We grow our business profitably, and we strive continually to improve." So if a McDonald's restaurant was deciding whether to, say, start employing underage workers, they could look at their value statement and say, "No, that's not ethical. It isn't in line with our values," and it would guide them to decide not to do that. When you live a life of integrity, you will know if the decision you're facing or a certain behaviour is consistent with your values and God's values, and that will guide you. Psalm 41, verse 12. Because of my integrity, you uphold me. What does it mean to uphold someone? The dictionary says that to uphold someone is to support or confirm them. When a judge upholds a judgment, they confirm the judgment that has been made. The Bible says that a life of integrity means that our Lord upholds us. That is, He supports or confirms us. Psalm 26, verses 1 to 3. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. David declares that he has walked in integrity, and the result is the blessing of a life walking in God's faithfulness. Live a life that matches your beliefs and values, a life of integrity, and you will have a life where you experience the joy of walking closely with God, of always standing firm. You will have a built-in guide. You will be upheld by the Creator of the universe, and you will walk in His faithfulness. Who wouldn't want a life like that? But the reality is the people of true integrity are pretty rare, even in the church. In fact, if you asked someone out in the street what they thought about Christians, I guarantee it wouldn't be long before you heard, "Christians, they're just a bunch of hypocrites." Hypocrisy, that's the opposite of integrity. In fact, the word is a Greek word which was used to describe an actor. You may remember, or you might have seen pictures of traditional Greek plays. The actors, or hypocrites, held masks on sticks in front of their faces, and they would take on the persona of the mask. A hypocrite is an actor, a mask wearer, a fake. And I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but if you're honest, you'll admit it. We all struggle with hypocrisy. We all struggle with a lack of integrity. I know I do. We put the mask on and play the game. We act the good Christian. We say all the right words, when on the inside, our lives are filthy before God. The problem is, we can justify, we can deny, we can ignore, but the reality is, God hates it. In fact, there's nothing that Jesus is harder on in the Gospels than hypocrisy. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 23. Prepare yourself. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. Matthew 23, verse 23. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? What sorrow awaits you?" I told you to prepare yourself. Jesus is letting them and us have it. You can hear the anger and frustration and disappointment, can't you? "Woe to you, you hypocrites! You're putting on a good face. You look religious. You look righteous. You're saying all the right things. On the surface, you look squeaky clean, but your heart is filthy with sin. You've got a mask on, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You're blind. You can't even see the hypocrisy in your life. You're whitewashed tombs. The outside is all sparkly and white, but inside is only death. Woe to you. Woe to you." He says it over and over again. I want to ask you a question. And I don't want you to answer with what you think you would like to be or what you think you should be. I want you to answer this as if you were someone else looking at your life. Someone who can see it all inside and out. From that perspective, think about this. What is your integrity worth? What is it worth to you? What is your integrity worth? Think about it. What do your actions say that your integrity is worth? Think about it this way. Say that you lie on a resume to get a better job. Well, then your integrity is worth whatever that job paid. That's what your integrity is worth. You just took your integrity and said, I'm willing to trade that so that I can get this job. That's what my integrity is worth. Or maybe you've stolen something. Well, then that's what your integrity is worth to you. Whatever the cost is of the thing that you've stolen. That is what you're saying by your actions your integrity is worth. These politicians that falsify their expense account. They put down a personal expense and make it look like a business expense. That is what their actions say their integrity is worth to them. Maybe you're married and your finances are tight, so when you buy an outfit, you hide it for a while. I know someone who has told me what I do is I buy an outfit and I hide it for 2 months and then I put it on. And when my husband says, is that a new outfit? I say, no, I've had it for months. Now, some of you are thinking, that's what I do. Others of you are thinking, that's a great idea. No, it's not a great idea. That's what your integrity is worth. Some of you might be in business and occasionally you overbill just a little bit because you know the client can afford it. Or you cut some corners along the way. Maybe with your friends you exaggerate a story just to be liked. Maybe you keep that excess change the checkout operator gave you by accident. You lie on your tax return. You don't declare something to Centrelink so that you don't lose your pension. You lie to your GP about how much you drink. That's what your integrity is worth to you. What is your integrity worth? Have a look at your life and you'll soon know. Now, the purpose of talking about integrity is not just to make us aware of it. That is important. It's important to think about integrity, to be reminded about what the Bible says about it and what the results of living a life that lacks integrity might be. That is important. It helps us to get to the point where we admit that, yes, I struggle with this. But that's only the first step. You then have to do something. So if you feel like the Holy Spirit is challenging you about this issue, I want to give you a few things that you can do to start you on the journey of dealing with it. So what do you do? What do you do when you realize that your integrity is lacking? Here's just a few things. First of all, get to know Jesus. Truly get to know him. Not from a distance. Get to know him personally. Because nothing is surer than the fact that you can never live a life of integrity on your own. The only way you can do it is by getting to know Jesus personally and allowing him, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, to lead you and help you to do what is right. Truly get to know Jesus and let him start to live through you. How do you do that? We've talked about this before. It's got to be more than just knowing about him. If I know all about Murray, my husband, his date of birth, his blood group, how much he weighs, his tax file number, if I know every detail about him, does that mean I know him? Of course not. In order to really know him, I need to spend time with him, hang out with him, do life with him, talk to him about everything, tell him how I feel, how I really feel. It's got to be that way with Jesus. That's the first step in developing a life of integrity. Really get to know Jesus. I have a very vivid memory of being a little girl. I'd been to the shops with Mum and a balloon had caught my eye. I thought, no one will notice. and so I put the balloon in my pocket. Later that day, Mum saw the balloon. "Where did you get that?" she asked me. And I think there were tears and probably some lies, but eventually Mum got me to admit that I'd stolen the balloon. It was such a small thing, maybe worth a couple of cents. And you'd understand it if Mum had a stern word with me, maybe confiscated the balloon and left it at that. But that's not what she did. She took me back to the shop. She found the manager and made me return the balloon and apologise for stealing it. I learned a very important lesson that day. I learned that stealing is stealing, no matter what the size. But I also learned the importance of taking responsibility for what I had done. And having to do that certainly made me never want to steal anything again. It's a really hard thing to do, but this is another step in the process of developing a life of integrity. Admit your lack of integrity to the people that it affects and to God. Admit it. Admit your lack of integrity and ask for forgiveness. And then start to live by the simple principle of Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Be a person of your word as Christ lives through you. It's that simple. Take off the mask. Let your behaviour line up with your beliefs and values. But not just your values. More importantly, let your behaviour line up with God's values. Live a life that matches your beliefs and values, a life of integrity, and you will experience the joy of walking closely with God, of always standing firm. You will have a built-in guide. You will be upheld by the Creator of the universe, and you will walk in His faithfulness. Who wouldn't want a life like that? Let's pray together. In this time of quietness, use this time to ask God to show if there is any area of your life where you might lack integrity. And if something comes to mind, take the time to name it and confess it to God. Lord, we want to be people of integrity, people who are real, people whose word can be trusted. Lord, forgive us for our lack of integrity and thank you for your grace. Thank you that we can know that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just and you will cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the fresh start that you offer us time and time again, day after day, hour after hour. We want to start afresh again this morning. We ask that the power of the Holy Spirit would dwell in our hearts and help us to live lives of integrity so that you might be glorified in everything we do and are. Amen.